Well, on more than one occasion, I've had a similar or kind of a related question pop into my mind. Kind of it was on the tip of my tongue. It stayed there. I didn't actually pose the question. It doesn't exactly matter what the context was. It could have been related to something with the Grace House or maybe something a little more churchy on a Zoom call or maybe a seminary class or something like that. I'm not sure. But I know that on multiple times, I've had a related question pop into my head, and it goes something like this. If Mary Magdalene was here today, would she, for instance, feel welcome at your church? Would Mary Magdalene be welcome at your church? Forget about your flags and your banners. Yeah? Would your people love, support, and include Mary Magdalene at your church? Kind of this popped into my head a couple of times, you know, in certain conversations. Could she be a member? Could she work in the nursery? Be on consistory? Could she come up here and read from the Gospels? And you could also take that question into the secular world. Would you be friends with Mary Magdalene? Hang out with her? Hire her? Would you rent to her? Now, we often hear the name Mary Magdalene. I don't think we think a whole lot about it, think much of it. But the gospel writer Luke, who was a stickler for detail, he indicates, we just heard it from Charlie, he indicates that she had been possessed by not one, not two or three, but seven demons. Seven. I wonder how they counted them, right? How'd they know that? Who counted them? Well, maybe they didn't count them. The number seven here is probably more of a reference to healing, exoneration, completion, and healing. Now, here's a little trivia for you. The number seven appears in the Bible over 700 times. It's a special number, like the 7 days of creation, right from the beginning. And it almost always is used in a positive way. Completion, perfection, and healing are associated with the number seven. And this is almost certainly the meaning here, which makes sense in connection with Mary Magdalene. I doubt that somebody stood and counted the demons as they exited her, but I'm not sure. Mary Magdalene was a deeply troubled, suffering young woman, that's for sure. Plagued with demons. What were they? Mental health, addictions, trauma of some kind. But she found completion and healing in her relationship with Jesus. That's the story. In the TV series, remember we saw this, The Chosen? They even portray an episode where she relapses. You guys remember this? She relapses while she's part of the Jesus entourage. But they go and they find her. And they bring her back, right? They bring her back in. Back into the fold. Would you welcome someone like that into your church? Would you rent to her? Would you be friends with her? Not always easy. I mean, it's not easy. You know, there's a certain amount of discernment that goes into life. I understand that. It's not always easy. I'm not being overly judgy about it. Now, on Monday of this week, I brought daughter Grace home from the hospital. Broken ribs, broken pelvis, broken hip, broken ankle, broken nose, broken finger. Did I miss anything? Broken bones from head to toe. To say it's been a difficult week and couple of weeks, months, would be an understatement. I mean, Grace could barely move. I almost can't believe they sent her home, quite frankly. Not the greatest insurance in the world. I had to rent her a wheelchair. They didn't even send her a wheelchair. I had to go rent her a wheelchair. Get her from the couch to the bathroom. But that evening, Monday evening, we had a scheduled Bible study group that night. This is a couples group in Lancaster that Jerry and I have been part of for 15 years, 10 years, 15, I'm not sure how long, 15 years call it. And Jerry insisted that I go. This will come as a shock. She can be a little bossy. Whew. She just wanted me to go. Just me. I didn't want to go. You know? I kind of had my hands full. Nope. You go. So guess what I did? I went. Right? She stayed back with Grace, and that's what I did. And we met at the home of Jim and Lori Martin. Jim and Lori Martin, they own the American Music Theater. They've been here. They've been here already. And the book that we were discussing was the final chapter of this book right here called Controlled Burn. It was written by Jim Martin's daughter, Brooke Martin. It's an excellent book. It's largely dealing with personal trauma and the challenges that you face in life. And Brooke Martin faced some real challenges in her life. And that's what the book is about, and it's excellent, extremely well written. And the conclusion of the book, which is what we talked about on Monday night, the last five pages is entitled Mary Magdalene. I want to read a few passages from that section of the book right now. Now, this is about Mary Magdalene. Jesus meets this tormented soul in the middle of unimaginable circumstances. He calls her name. I heard Charlie say that. And he rescues her from the clutches of darkness. She stays close to him. That's key, right? She stays close to him. She's unwavering. She's there for his teachings, his miracles, his acts of compassion. She tends to his needs and to his heart. She's not only profoundly grateful to the one who freed her from the tormenting flames, but she loves her Messiah deeply. And when the tables turn, as darkness envelopes Jesus in his most trying hours, and all but one of his closest disciples turn away, Mary stays. She's there at the foot of the cross. She hears his gasps, his pleas to the Father. She watches the same feet that she anointed with oil get crushed by hammer and nail. She is with Jesus through to the bitter end. And with his last breath, she watches her entire world die. At her earliest opportunity, Mary returns to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body. This was the second gospel reading we heard. Approaching the tomb that Sunday morning, a new wave of grief washes over her. The tomb is empty. Who took his body? She rushes to tell the other disciples. John and Peter hurry to see for themselves. It's true, it's empty. The disciples go back home, but again, Mary stays. In her grief, Mary misses the presence of the angels. She misses Jesus. She doesn't remember his promises. She's bought into the lie that because of the suffering, something went wrong. But then Jesus speaks her name. The same voice that demanded the demons flee, the same voice that cracked jokes around the dinner table, the same voice that always assured her in her doubt, the same way he always said it, Mary. In her grief, Jesus doesn't give Mary what she initially wants, a return to normal. He gives her so much more. And he wants to do the same for you and me through our fires. He wants to reveal himself, to give us a new life and a calling full of purpose. The world desperately needs Christians who accept that invitation. It needs courageous kingdom warriors who have come face to face with real pain, who have stared death straight in the eyes and gritted their teeth against the oppression of suffering. The world needs believers who have discovered the radical power of God's presence, who have been transformed, renewed, and strengthened. The world needs you. The world needs you. So in closing, I have to get a copy of this book, Dave, for the library. In closing, in our responsive reading today in your bulletin, the psalmist there said, quote, "It was good for me, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn from the Lord's decrees." Now, I don't ever wish affliction on anybody. And I have a hard time saying that some of this stuff is good. But I can see how our trials and our struggles can make us stronger, right? And wiser. And better. And better. That's when in our brokenness and in our humility, we allow space for the Holy Spirit to enter us and to work inside of us. And that's when the grace of God welcomes us back home. And a person like Mary Magdalene becomes arguably the closest and dearest friend to Jesus Christ. Imagine that. Think of that. So as to the question that I started the sermon with, would we here welcome Mary Magdalene? Well, over 6 years ago, this congregation didn't hesitate when we proposed holding the Grace House Blessings here. And I remember warning you, it could get a little rough. Not always pretty. Sometimes your hearts get broken. But you guys never wavered. And over the past few weeks, your support of Daughter Grace and us, and I won't start mentioning names. There's too many to mention and I'll miss somebody. But it's everybody. Everybody here. It's a long list. We appreciate it. There's a good group of people. And I'm proud of you. You're doing good work. You're doing what Jesus calls us to do, to love and serve others. Thank you very much. Amen.